It's the Puppet Parent Podcast, episode 37, Depression versus Anxiety. In this episode, we'll talk about our favorite other puppet podcasts, Our Cat versus Their Dog, Z's new public workshops, and the kids starting up school again. It's all coming up next on the Puppet Parent Podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Puppet Parent Podcast, season two. That's right, it's official. Season two. That's right. Yes. My name is Chad.
I'm Z.
We are parents.
We are puppeteers.
And we podcast. Yeah. And guess what? I, for Unuma USA, because I help, I'm on the social media team for Unuma USA.
That's the International Organization of Puppetry.
Thank you. The American branch. I was looking up today trying to make a post about podcasts and puppeteers, podcasts, trying to figure out, like, are there any out there that I don't know about that I could write in this definitive list? That list is going out tomorrow, Wednesday, January 5th, on our social media. We are one of the only, one of two non-interview podcasts that have to do with puppetry.
Oh, what's the other one?
The other one is called Moving Right Along. It's a really cool concept for a podcast to plug them really quickly. So Moving Right Along, just Google it. It's sponsored by Tough Pigs, Big Muppet Nerds. So they watch 2 minutes of the Muppet movie at a time. Oh. They watch 2 minutes, and then they pause, and then they talk about it for an hour.
Wow!
And I think this is the coolest thing.
That's very, like, almost like Gilmore Girls inspired, how they, like, did a podcast about every single episode of Gilmore Girls.
But it's just 2 minutes of one movie.
They've been
that. They've been doing the movie in two-minute chunks for 3 years.
Oh, I love it. It's so great.
Yeah, and sometimes they get special guests, but it's not really about special guests. And the special guests that come on, they talk about deep stuff. It's not just about, like, this is me,
how's
my career.
Life?
Yeah, exactly. Because there's so many. I was writing the descriptions for all these other puppeteer podcasts.
Yeah.
And I was like, interviews with American puppeteers.
Global puppeteers.
There's like two or three or four that are exactly that description. You know who you are. Some of them are like interviews with contemporary American puppet theater makers, right? Another one's like mostly Muppets, mostly TV puppetry. And then there's the new one with Matt Vogel. What's it called? Below the Frame? With Matt Vogel. That's just about puppets on film.
Yeah, but it's really good.
It's well produced.
It's so good. It's so, so good, you guys. Like, I had to do a lot of driving in October, and I listened to a whole bunch of them. And, you know, I just really, really, really liked it a lot. And it's super fun. And Matt, I don't think you're gonna listen to this podcast, but if you do, I'm a big fan. And you know I'm a fan of you too, but I'm a fan of your podcast as well. So
if you're looking for a puppet podcast that is not a slice of life podcast, which ours is, if you just want some interviews with some puppeteers that can tell you all about the stories and their careers and their life, they're a dime a dozen. Ours is the only one that's like slice of life, baby. Here we go.
This is what it's like. day in and day out, yes. Week in, week out, here we are.
But this makes sense because we are documentarians. So something about us, we've made several documentary films. We've made 4 about the American puppetry scene. They're currently, you cannot find them anywhere because they're only on DVD. We made them for the P of A, the Puppeteers of America, who sell them on DVD. You could probably still buy them on DVD. But I don't think they have a digital plan for those films at this point, so they're kind of in limbo. But anyway,
exist.
And we've both run individually. We've run and produced film festivals.
Yes. And I just like making stuff. I do, and you know what? I have found podcasts to be immensely helpful for me in a lot of different chapters now of my life. I've been listening to podcasts, I'd say, since towards the beginning of podcasts, I was listening. Like, as soon as I heard that there was a thing called a podcast, I was like, what's that? Because I've always loved radio, and I've always loved, like, learning things orally, you know, like
listening to things.
Yes, I can't think of the word, like audibly, like I like to get my knowledge that way.
Devour those podcasts.
I couldn't think of the right word. Anyways, yeah, I like to hear the knowledge. And I also like to watch it too, but I feel like sometimes my life is so full of visuals that just hearing it while I'm working on something completely unrelated is nice. And I also have much more of a space for that. Like, I'll do, when we're home in New York City and, like, you know, life, regular life is happening. The kids will go to bed and then I'll put in some headphones and do the dishes, like, mm-hmm. while I'm listening to a podcast, and then, adjustments.
Well, you look so tiny. I gotta adjust this camera.
Maybe it's because my upper back is all messed up, and I can't lean back right now.
I'm sorry, sweetie.
Oh, I tell you, man, after you, like, turn a certain age, like, you stretch, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh, man, I should not have done that. Oh, that's going to hurt for a few days now. Mm-mm. So, yeah, learning those lessons a lot this year.
Yeah, so Z injured herself making puppets.
I don't know that was the case, but I was getting...
Let's go with it.
What did you say?
So let's go with it.
Let's go with it.
Yes.
I think that, I was definitely sewing a lot. I've been sewing a lot over the last couple weeks. See, this is an inside-out form of what I was sewing, and
this is a hand puppet.
Yeah,
it's a felt hand puppet that's very basic and generic looking.
Oh yes,
because
this is an audio podcast.
Yes, some people consume this orally with their ears.
So I've been sewing. I've probably sewn about, like, 60 of these or so by the time it's all done, maybe 70. And I've been maybe hunched over a little too much or something, because then my upper shoulder blades were getting really tight. And so then I thought, oh, you know, I'm going to do this really nice stretch that I know how to do, where you, like, your head's like a cannonball and you're, like, lifting it up. Anyways, or you call it, like, flossing, I think.
I stopped doing that.
Well, and so usually it feels great. And my dear friend who passed on a number of years ago, Nikki Tilro, had shown me how to do that stretch. And I usually love that stretch. And so I did it, and it totally did stretch out my upper back. And I heard the whole thing go and do all these little pops. And I was like, ah, great. And then I went to get up, and I was like, ow. Oh. And then the thing that I was cooking, whatever it was, in the oven was done. And I went to get it, and I was like, oh, man, I don't even think I can reach in there right now. Oh, this sucks. Oh, this is not good. Power through. Ignore. Oh, no. And then I go to sit down at the kitchen table for dinner, and I'm like, oh, everything sucks right now.
it just hurt.
And everyone's like, where are you going to eat anything? How's dinner? And it's like something, and it was a dish that I really, really like that I had made. And I was like, yeah, it looks great. Oh.
Oh, poor thing.
Yeah.
So you flossed your spine, but in doing so, you pulled a muscle.
I messed myself up.
Yeah,
so.
We've all been there. Well, now you gotta deal with it. Now you gotta, you know, not do anything to it, and, you know, just get back to 100%, and then you can begin your stretching regimen, which you do every day, right?
No, but I should. I think maybe my goal for this year, after I'm back to being, you know, like able-bodied again, mm-hmm. is to do more stretching in kind ways to my body, and eventually be able to do maybe close to a split again. That would be great, because I can do that if I work really hard at it. So that would be nice to be limber like that again. So we'll see. I don't know.
Anytime I talk about or hear anything mention of back issues, I'm like, all right, sit up straight.
I can't shoulders back, sit right. any different than this right now. Like, I'm not leaning back in my chair at all. Anyway, so yeah, That's, I guess, the breaking news is I'm a little broken. But I'm fine. Everything's good. I think last week we had talked about, like, a little bit on New Year's resolutions and stuff. And I had said that would be this week. So, Happy New Year, Chad.
Happy New Year, Z. We're in a different time. It's 2021 now.
I know.
Remember 2020, how hard it was? It feels a lot less harder in some ways now that the end is in sight. Now we have new problems, like old people sitting for 6 hours in a cold parking lot waiting to get vaccinated.
I don't know. I you know what? To me, it's not... It doesn't feel like it's over at all yet because mm-hmm. we're still here.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know when that feeling of general okayness is going to hit me. But I'm not there. And I'm not. I think the first thing that has to happen is that, like, a peaceful transfer of power in the White House has to happen. And then I will be able to breathe a little bit more than I have been able to for a long time. Mm-hmm. And then I need to see some more clear signs that things are definitely working and that it's getting better. Like, I believe in the vaccine and I believe that everything is eventually going to be okay, but I need to see it. I need to see it because it's just been such a hard time for so many people. And, you know, in puppetry news... in the puppetry world, I just found out that the world of puppet theater lost one of its directors and creators yesterday. Mm. The artistic director of Mabu Mines, Lee Brewer, passed away. And he was a force for experimental theater in New York City and utilized puppetry in a number of his works. And... I never worked with him personally, but a number of people that I know have, and I've seen his work, and it's just, you know, it's a bummer, and it's sad, and so, you know, my thoughts and prayers are, and well, I don't really pray, but like my thoughts and energy and love is going out to all of his friends and family right now.
Yeah, it's tough.
Yeah.
He was born in 1937, I read. So he's pretty old.
Yeah, yeah. And I believe maybe he'd been sick for a while. Mm-hmm. But I'm not fully sure. But I was sad to hear about it today because it's just another little piece of what makes New York really great is all these amazing people. Mm-hmm. And just knowing that I don't get to see like another new thing from his amazing mind is kind of like, oh, yeah. So... that's a little bit of puppet news that happened today.
Mm-hmm.
I had to go back to work today, too. Oof, the end of holiday break is real.
Like, well, you and the kids both. The kids have to go back to streaming school tomorrow.
No, nobody's happy about any of it. No. The kids are like, we don't want to go back to streaming school. I'm like, I know, man, but you have to. Just like I had to go back to work and everybody has to go back to... the things, but, you know, eventually there's an end in sight. And, you know, next week will be different too, because your parents will be away. They're going to be traveling, in their car very, very safely to go, have some time away,
remotely. They're taking a vacation. They're going to go to Hawaii at some points. Mm-hmm. And there's like a hut on a beach on the least populated island that they like to go to.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds like pretty perfect. It sounds like exactly what this is, except the opposite climate. Where we have
and
all
without
this...
us.
we have all this snow outside.
I'm sure they're looking forward to a break from the grandkids and from being around us all the time too. So good mm-hmm. for them. And also nice for us too. Everybody's going to have a break from each other, which I think will be nice. I will be having to make dinner again every single night, which that will be back to
I can make dinner sometimes.
Okay.
Yeah, you just
you guys to, heard it.
You just have to be okay with what I make, that's all.
Well, that sounds good.
And you just have to let me make it.
I do. You are hastening back to a time of me before I had evolved, a pre-evolved me. And that is not me anymore. Make it.
Okay. I'll make it.
So that's some news.
Yeah.
Any other news?
Puppet news. Our company has started accepting bookings for Purim. You right? Mm-hmm. So Purim is creeping up very fast. I know you. I sent you some designs for not designs really. I looked concept up some stock photos imagery of faces that I want the puppets to look like, and I just send them off, and then I look up some costumes and send those over. So she has like a stock photo of a face, stock photo of like a historical depiction of like a costume, and somewhere her artistic interpretation will kind of flow from that.
I already looked at some costumes. So
awesome.
Yeah, I have some things to show you.
Yeah. I have zero. We haven't talked about how many of those characters you will complete in the next 2 months, especially because my parents are gone and everything's happening like that. I feel like none of the. I have low expectations. Low expectations for any of them to get done for 2021. But at least we started the ball rolling.
Yes, that's right. For next year.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's good. So new rebuild of a very old show, one of our oldest shows. And if you know of anybody that needs a Purim show, a streamed Purim puppet show, give us a call because we would love to do it.
Right.
Yeah. We've been doing Purim puppet shows for 10 years, and we really enjoy doing Purim puppet shows. They're super fun. Mm-hmm. And this time I'll be performing with you, which will be fun.
This is the 11th year, actually.
What?
Year 11.
Amazing.
Because we started in 2009. So our first Purim puppet show, the Purim disaster, was in 2010. Which is officially 11 years.
Really, everybody has to have a couple of disasters.
Right? You have to fall flat on your face.
As the O'Neill says, risk, fail, risk again.
That's so right. Peel yourself up off the sidewalk to learn how to walk.
Yeah.
Yes.
There you go.
It was some big lessons learned that day.
But we got better and brighter because of it. So.
Yeah. So, mm-hmm. I want to tell you.
Oh,
I was
serious talk.
Very tired yesterday. Been extremely tired. I've been waking up at like 4 in the morning, which is not usual for me at all. So is my dad, but he's like, he's got like a back nerve that's like hitting him.
I don't know.
And I'm just been like waking up way too early, and that means you crash around like 8 o'clock. And I crawled into bed last night at 8, and Finn came over to me and he's like, "Daddy, can we watch the hamster videos on YouTube again?" And I was like, "I don't know." Just covering my head with a pillow, just feeling like sleep was gonna be amazing. It was, but I kept waking up at like 4 in the morning, like, no, go back to sleep, and just keep going. I don't know what time it is, but just go back to sleep. I can't see the sun yet, go back to sleep. Had a real hard time just staying asleep. And so eventually when I do get up, it's early, it's super early, but I feel like I'm a morning person, so I'm just like, okay, let's go, get out of bed, let's go do things. What time is it? 3:30. Oh, man, getting back to sleep is hard.
I do not relate to this at all, by the way. Not at all.
You're the opposite problem.
No, in fact, lately, I've been for over a week now getting up before 7 a.m., which, in our normal life, when we have work and school where we have to leave the apartment, I'm up at like 6 or 5:30 with you every morning. But here, I didn't have to set an alarm because somewhere between 7 and 8 a.m., the kids would come in. I could like fall asleep, wake up, fall asleep, whatever. But you know what? That actually wasn't so great for me. So I've been trying to get up before 7, but the reason I am telling you all this is because what happens is I go down to the kitchen ready to continue not talking to people, because I've been doing a great job of not talking to people being awake in my room. And then Chad's like, "Hey, good morning." And I'm like, "Hey, good morning." And then Chad's dad is like, "Good morning." And I'm like, "Good morning." And Chad's dad is a very nice man, but here's the thing is if you don't respond with a good morning back to him, something is wrong. And then he'll say it again. Good morning. And then it's like, good morning. So you can't just wave. You got to say it. And so then it's like the seal has been broken. Like, I can wave at Chad and he won't get upset. He'll be like, oh, okay, it's one of those mornings.
Well, I mean, we are married.
Anyway, it's true. Isn't it? We're all good. It's fine. I can just be like, what's up? But not even say it. Just be like,
I know wave. You're not a morning person.
Yeah. But Chad's dad, good morning. And you got to be like, morning.
He's watching.
And then the seal is broken, is what I'm saying. I'm just saying that, like, then it's like, oh, man, now I've spoken. Now anything's possible. Anything could fly out of my mouth. I don't know what's happening. I'm not even really here. You're seeing me, but I'm not here yet.
See, but how you are in the morning is how I am when I'm tired at
night. This is why we can't ever have decent conversations unless it's, like, the middle of the day and we're both kind of like, eh.
Yeah. You gotta make time during the day.
Anyway, can anyone relate to this at all? Is anyone else married to somebody that is on the opposite time threshold of joyfulness?
That's right. Right. Morning dove and night owl. Who, like, people say it couldn't be done, but look at this.
Ooh.
We're in a nest together.
Ooh.
We got our little babies. And we're not ready to kick them out of the nest just yet. That's right.
No, my wing's a little messed up.
Oh,
so.
Sorry. Yeah, I would rub it, but I don't want to.
No, don't touch it.
No, don't even want to touch it. No. No, I'm looking forward to it. It's crazy, but like in the puppet world, in our section of the puppet world, there's a lot of like, I know there's some people struggle with imposter syndrome. Whenever I know I'm getting depressed, which can happen like seasonally, it's seasonal depression time, right? You don't get to, there's been a storm outside of our window, clouds for like weeks. I haven't seen the sun. When Saturn and Jupiter were coming together every 800 years, happened a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, every single person on social media told us how amazing it was.
Form a gigantic, super bright star and all this religious significance. We had clouds.
Every single night. I was like, the week before, I said, kids, we're going to study astronomy. We're going to go outside and look at the sky each night. And every single night that we try to look at the sky, clouds.
Yeah.
So
we're still getting clouds. So that also means we're not getting enough vitamin D, seasonal depression. So anyway, I know I'm getting depressed when I start to question my life choices, like in puppetry, like, oh, man. Maybe I should do some more stuff on social media. Maybe I need to be more productive. Maybe I need to think about new show ideas or new video series ideas. But at the same time, I don't want to do any of that. So then I feel bad about not doing any of that or not wanting to. And it just kind of like beats you down.
Mm.
When I feel those feelings, I'm like, okay. All right, that's depression knocking at the door. And all right, and I need to just do nothing for a few days until a new feeling comes crashing through that beats down depression, which is the feeling of anxiety of like, oh my God, I've been doing nothing for too long. Oh no, I just have to do something. All right, and then I get to super productive because the anxiety just takes over and energizes me back into like my hyper, like possibly ADHD state where I'm just like, everything gets done right now, blah, 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 you know, like take it all down. I'm excited to work again. You know, and I know it's coming, and depression knows it's coming too. It's like, no, please, not anxiety. No, no, don't let it in. No, because anxiety will defeat depression every time.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Wow. This little showdown that's happening for you.
That's right. It only took 40 years to figure that out. Yeah.
I'm still working on my stuff.
I mean, both of those are not great things, but, you know, I'll take anxiety over depression.
Well, news from the kids front is that our youngest, who's 5, starts speech therapy stuff
tomorrow
to work on his R's and just his overall pronunciation of words when he's talking to people outside of our family, because we can understand him, but it's hard for other people to understand him. And it's especially hard with virtual learning for his teachers to understand him. So, you know, this is just going to make things easier for him because he gets super frustrated because he's, like, smart. But for whatever reason, he can't pronounce the words the way that he needs to be able to convey things, you know, so we're starting that tomorrow, so we'll see how that goes. But he's met her already once, and he liked her, and she's got goldfish, so it's already a positive.
Yeah. I feel bad. He's kind of developed a stutter in the last month.
Yeah, well, we'll see.
He like takes these gasps of breaths in between words, you know, which is interesting, but and I feel like a failure when he started developing those. Like, oh no, he started, like, this is happening to him.
I don't know. Kids go through all sorts of phases with speech. I mean, Leaf has too, our older son. So.
I know.
And he's not doing it as much this week as he was last week. So he might also just have been exploring something and not even realizing that he was doing it.
I know, and maybe because we were talking to him about the other thing, that we accidentally, you know, threw him down a rabbit hole of, like, now, like, more anxiety about his speech is leading to, like, more speech problems. I don't know. But he's seeing an expert tomorrow and every week, and I'm so excited about that.
Yeah. So that's good.
The kids have been playing with all their Christmas toys.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And respecting the 1 hour rule for screens.
Yeah, well, they've been getting more than an hour of screens in general, well, but
yeah, I mean, there's a TV on all the time that's playing Law and Order or House Repairs.
but that's another thing that would be different too when your parents are away. Is I don't know how it will feel, but it will be different because it won't we won't have like constant television on in the house all the time.
Yeah,
and yeah.
It might feel like an empty house because there's no chatter.
It'll definitely feel like a bigger house because, like, I definitely lean on the fact that I know that they're on the same floor that the kids are on or something. So that if I'm down here, it's like, well, then they're fine up there because somebody's up there. There's an adult up there. Mm-hmm. But, you know, in our tiny New York City apartment, when we're there, you just know what everybody's doing at all times because that apartment is basically the size of, like, one of these larger bedrooms, you know?
I think it's, like, these two rooms.
Yeah, combined.
Counting the bathroom and kitchen. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's small. So you just always know what everybody's doing because you just do because that is the nature of living in a small space. But it's cool because it also makes you have to be respectful of other people's space because that's just how you live. But then here, it's like, well, you know, it's very possible to do things and not have anybody know what you're doing for a while and then get found out later, much later.
Yes.
Yeah. So
Secrets.
Yes. Yes. I mean, it reminds me a bit of, like, what it was like to grow up in a large house as well. And, you know, all of those things. And just I'm looking forward to going back to our tiny place.
Mm-hmm.
I like our small space.
Yeah, but you can't live in a tiny house without being able to leave your tiny house.
Yeah. Well, I'm looking forward to going back, and all the things. But we'll see when that can happen. I don't know when we're gonna go back yet, but
who knows? Old people waiting to get vaccinated. Waiting for hours and hours and hours.
It's not just about old people waiting to get vaccinated.
No, that was the big news story of today. Florida is trying to vaccinate all their seniors now because they vaccinated all their doctors and nurses. Mm-hmm. Now they're like, okay, we got a huge old people population. Let's go old people, and go figure, they don't have enough places and they have way too much demand for the vaccine. Mm-hmm. So everyone's like, okay, this is like waiting like a video game launch or like Sabres tickets. You still have to wait in line for Sabres tickets,
you know what?
In the cold.
I'll tell you, I've been purposefully, I think, not following it because it makes me crazy. The whole thing. Yeah. The whole thing makes me crazy. And the only thing I do check every day is like the graph on the New York Times with the numbers, you know, the little mountain graph.
Mm-hmm.
I do check that every day. And I check the one for the country, and then I want the one for our state, and then I sigh, and then I just have to continue on, and And I've been waking up to music. That's my new thing.
Oh.
Yeah.
A little music alarm?
Yeah. Yes. I found out that you can set Pandora to wake you up as an alarm.
Cool.
And so I've been doing that, and that's been nice to, like, wake up to music, which is what I used to do when I was a teenager and not didn't share my space with anyone. But now that you've been getting up so early, it's like, well, it's not like I'm going to wake anybody up if I have it on quietly. And that's been nice, and it's been, like, motivating for me to, like, get out of bed, get my stuff done.
Does our cat mind that you play the music? Because she sleeps in her bed with us.
No, but she minds when I get out of the bed. She's like, why would you leave? I mean, she's half the reason that I, like, have a hard time getting out of bed, because she's all like, I'm going to nuzzle in and put my paw on you and be all cute and warm. Why would you leave this?
That's so nice.
Loving spoonful situation.
You know, our this week our cat, there was a confrontation with the dog. Oh, so my parents have a standard.
Very exciting. High drama.
My parents have a standard poodle, which looks like a regular dog until they take it back from the groomers, and then it looks like this weird alien creature. It's weird. Standard poodles look weird unless they have a lot of poof happening.
Fur.
Poofy fur, you know? Their fur just poofs out, and not like the kind you see on the Westminster Dog Kettle shows. Like a regular standard poodle cut. Once it poofs out, they look way bigger than they actually are, and this one's a pretty big one. So anyway, that dog is submissive as all out. And the cats, our cat is also submissive, right? So they're not really like alpha animals. They're not, like, really domineering or anything. They both just want to get out of each other's way. But we found out that the dog wants to get out of the cat's way more. The cat cares more than the dog about being in the living room space. So this past week, our cat, who was upstairs, who was on the second floor, and while all of us are doing all their work and school and things, and like the first floor, the cat is up on the second floor and whines meow, whenever she wants anything. And that's my cue to, like, walk up the stairs and pet her while she eats. Or, you know, oh, do you want to take a nap? Let me sit on the bed so you can come up and I'll pet some fur off of you until you get comfy, and then I will leave so she can nap. So she's done being left out there, right? She's like, I'm done. I want to be with people all the time. That's her thing. But there's a dog who lives on the first floor. So, and her and the dog don't really get along. She always kind of like meows and like hisses at this dog whenever the dog gets close. But the dog really has a huge chase instinct because he's a standard poodle. He's a hunting dog.
And he wants to play.
He wants to play, and he's always wagging his tail.
Like, you're such a weird puppy. Why aren't you playing? Yeah. But she domineered. This week, she decided. She put her furry paw down and was like, this is my space. Yep. I will sleep on this couch. Mm.
Yep. So my mom, who has a rule against animals being on couches, by the way, put a towel on the couch because unbeknownst to us, her and the cat are like that. They're secret buddies. That's right. And she has not mentioned a word of this about, like, liking cats or petting the cat. Like, every once in a while, I'd be like, oh, I petted the cat today, you know, whatever. She put a towel on the couch so that the cat could go on the couch. Secret buddies.
Oh, and I didn't realize that this was such a big deal.
Oh, yeah, because it's because she's very particular, my mom. Hi, Mom. And she never lets an animal on the couch. But she will let this cat on the couch if there's a towel on the couch. Maybe she picked this up for me when I was like, she was telling me to get the cat off the dining room table. And I was like, no, Mom, the cat is on my laptop bag on the table. So it's like it's not on the table because it's on my laptop bag. So anyway, she put the towel on there. Cat wants to be on there, but the poodle will come up and sniff them all the time. Just put his snout in this cat's business and wag his tail like this and want to play and then get disappointed and make. Can you make a disappointed dog noise? Yeah, when he doesn't get his way, and we're like, what's going to happen? Because when
it's
dogs.
More like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When dogs want to play, they like, hoo, and they like make these sudden, like, you know, movements, like, yeah. And then the cats make a sudden movement. It's like, hoo, like pupils open.
Why would you ever do that? Yeah. So she decided that she was in charge this week, and it's been interesting to see that relationship evolve.
Yeah, we heard a lot of whining noises. I'm like, does she want to get fed? No, she's actually whining at the dog for him to get out of there so she can. So she's been sitting on the couch for like the last couple days straight. Yeah. She's loving it.
Yeah, all the TV and home improvement shows she could have, all the Law and Order. Mm-mm.
She just be with somebody all the time on a couch with somebody. That's her dream.
Yeah. That's good. Everything else, how are you?
I'm less tired today than was yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Boom, there mm-hmm. it is. Mm-hmm. I've been having such a great time playing with the boys. We play together all the time. It's gonna be different now that they're going back to streaming school.
Yeah.
I thought we would sled more.
The snow hasn't been great for it. It's been kind of sloppy.
Yeah, but like when I was a kid, you know, we'd sled every day. These kids are like, okay, we sled, boom. Done.
They sledded like 3 or 4 days in a row, mm-hmm. But then it got sloppy and wet.
Yeah,
you don't want to sled in that. Mm-hmm. I'm definitely not gonna sled in that.
But I feel like our older one, especially, like if I'm with the younger one who mm-hmm. loves to sled, we'll sled like a couple times, and then I'll be like, "All right, man, I'm done." He's like, "Okay, all right, what are we doing?" You know, he's good. He's like, "I don't want to." You know, some kids just want to sled all day. You know, mm-hmm. no matter who's there, to sled by themselves. You know, I was like that.
Mm-hmm.
This kid's just like, "Okay. Whatever, let's just go do something else." You know, I was like, let's go to the fort in the woods. Okay, let's go. Or we sled all the way down to the creek. And then mm-hmm. he's like, wow, look at this ice. You've seen this ice? And then we were like, okay, well, I want to go to the watering hole. Let's go to the watering hole. Check it out. And then we're out in the woods for like an hour just like looking at stuff. And
I think it would be fun to take them to Sprague Brook like next year just for a day,
mm-hmm.
Which has a very, very steep sledding hill.
A huge, long, famous sledding hill.
I mean, but it's cool. It is cool to go down a really long hill like that. Like, they've never done that.
Yeah.
But
it's like, it's the hill is so tall that you get tired climbing up the hill.
Did you see?
I saw. There's our friend Benjamin. Hey, Benjamin.
He says hi.
On YouTube. How's it going? Good to see you guys. Thanks for tuning in. So we're recording this on a Monday because I fell asleep yesterday in our usual time slot.
Yeah.
But we're going to always try and record at Sundays and 9 o'clock now because it's season 2, baby.
Season 2. Woo! I'm sorry, I was holding things. I wasn't ready.
That's all good.
You
always gotta be ready for a high five. Bam! There, that's right.
I had one hand prepared. I've been just working on these professional development workshops that mm-hmm. we're offering through the Jim Henson Foundation and a grant. Well, it's more a contract from the Kennedy Center VSA program. The workshops are called Making Connections Through Puppetry. They're professional development workshops for educators, counselors, and therapists who are working with students with autism. So if you know somebody who is in any of those roles, who is working with special needs students and students diagnosed with autism, we will teach them how to use puppets to then make connections with these kids. And puppets can be such an amazing tool for de-escalation, for joint attention, for all sorts of really amazing things that you're already working on if you're in one of those professions. So this is just another tool in your toolbox, and just puppets are so great. So if you know anybody, check out WonderSpark Puppets Facebook page or the Jim Henson Foundation Facebook page. There's information in both of those areas. Or you could go to hensonfoundation.org/PDW. And that has information there about signing up for those workshops. Thanks, Kevin. Yeah, we're really excited about those workshops. So if you know anybody working in those fields, we have workshops that are filling up right now for the public. And it's the first time we've ever offered the full workshop totally virtually. So that's really exciting. And the workshop itself is being subsidized by the Kennedy Center.
So Z, if somebody signs up, do they have to pay any money?
A little bit. If you're taking the public workshop, you do have to pay a little bit of money. But what that covers is a puppet kit. You get your very own felt puppet. Well, these are not completed here. It more looks more like this one. Hold on. That's the beginnings.
That's right. This is
that
the,
will then get turned
I'm
into.
I'm holding up this felt blank hand puppet. With Z's has eyes and a nose and a mouth and
cute hair,
customized hair.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You get to customize a lot about it.
So you get your very own puppet that you get to pick the nose and the hair color. And you're also going to get a pair of puppet eyes that fit on your fingers.
Oh,
to
yeah. Practice. Oogie eyes.
Yeah. Well, they're called peepers.
Oh, excuse me.
And then we have some tools that we can work with all together in our virtual learning workshop. And the workshops are especially geared towards using puppets in a virtual space. Like, how can we use these skills right now in a virtual space? And then also use them in one-on-one or small group work in person as well, which is what we usually do. So yeah, but it's super exciting. The workshops are heavily subsidized by the Kennedy Center VSA program.
But even if they weren't, it's super cheap.
Yeah, so
I
it's $35 for the puppet kit, and that covers shipping too. So we just want to make it affordable. We know teachers don't get paid nearly as much as they deserve to get paid. So we just want you guys to take the course. So if you know anybody, please send them to hensonfoundation.org/PDW, and they can find out more information there about how to register. And slots are filling up fast. So yay! It's exciting. I've been just like sewing.
and hurting mailing. Yourself in the process.
I know. My poor upper back. It's so silly. I love teaching those workshops. We've been teaching them since September 2016.
Wow.
So
awesome.
Yeah, this is our fifth year. This is starting our fifth year of teaching those. So that's very exciting.
And you still love to do it.
Yeah.
That's awesome. It's like a 5-year test is very important. Like, if you get through something and it's like you did 5 years of something, that's a significant chunk of time to figure out if you like it or not. I mean, you know. Like, that's serious, like 5 years.
Yeah, I mean, it's the whole idea and concept of it has just continued to grow and evolve and gain momentum. So it's very exciting, and I'm looking forward to the year ahead with the program to see what's going to happen next with it. So that's what's been happening with me and puppets and...
So, little secret about Z. She likes to listen to things while she works. I mean, that's no secret, but she's been marathoning The Voice, which is a show on NBC, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. Throughout it. So out of all the marathons of The Voice, because you went through...
I'm almost all caught up now.
Yeah.
Don't tell me if you watch it. Don't tell me who won this season or last season. I'm still catching up.
So out of all the seasons that you watched, was there like one person or one or two acts where you're like, wow, this is like my favorite?
Oh, always. Every season there's people that are my favorite. Every season. And I then follow them afterwards. I can't look them up during the show because I always watch the show after the fact because I'm so behind and everything. I never want spoilers. So I don't want to see, like, you know, runner up in The Voice. I want to know, like, afterwards. But there's just certain people who have such a great tone. Like, there is this one girl in the season that I just completed. Her name was Kat Hammack, and she did not make it into the final four.
Her name's Kat Hammack?
That's her name.
That sounds like a euphemism.
Oh, her voice. Her voice was so, I don't even know, but it was just so beautiful. It was so reminiscent of just this airy, light quality, but always on pitch, always able to, like, bring out the most beautiful qualities of a song. And I only I mean, you're always rooting for your favorite people. I really wanted to see her in the finale because I was wondering who, because usually in the finale of The Voice, they pair people up with like another really accomplished singer to sing with. And one of the women who had won a few seasons ago, Mei Lin, was paired up with Sarah McLachlan to sing at the finale. And the whole, like, certain sets, I can, like, do other things while I'm watching it and still be appreciative of the music and the artistry and everything. I did not do anything the entire time. Sarah and Mei Lin were singing together, and the whole time I was just like, oh, my God, they're so good. And what was awesome, too, is that Sarah McLachlan was just so giving on stage. Like, she recognized as well how amazingly talented Mei Lin was. And so Sarah would be done singing her part of the song. They were singing Angel, one of Sarah's songs, and then she would just let Mei Lin sing, and the whole time that Mei Lin was singing, Sarah just smiling from ear to ear, just like, look at you, girl, yes, you sing it. And it was just so good. So, and I just watched that, like, I don't know, a few days ago, and I'm still like, oh, so good.
Yay.
So good. Yeah.
That's amazing. So,
anyway, I mean, I I was thinking about it the other day because everybody in this house likes sports, but they like different kinds of sports. So your parents and your brothers and sister, I think, mm-hmm. all like football.
Yes.
You know?
This is a thing.
And
especially this year.
And soccer. Mm-hmm. And you like speed runs and
yes.
League of Legends and things like this.
These are video game
things. E-games. Esports.
Yes.
And I like The Voice.
You like
that's my
singing
sport.
Competition.
No, it's performance. It's like a performance sport. I mean, to me, it is a competition, but it's also like, I don't know. I don't want to talk too much about it because I it's hard when there's nobody else to like be like, me too, and nobody's chiming in the chat.
So if you're in the chat, you gotta, this is your chance. To get Z to talk about it more because it's fascinating. It's like
I love it.
It's like industry insiders, right? Are the judges, people who are in the industry of the music industry.
Yeah.
And they know what's going to work or sell or something.
But it's also about the artistry of a song and like building a song and like how the same as any kind of performance mm-hmm. that we talk about. It has to have a beginning, middle, and an end. It has to build. You have to have something at stake and you have to be an excellent storyteller. And if you can connect with it in a way that feels sincere, then yeah, Uncle Tom's like, go Bills. Woo!
There it is. Here, we'll pin that. Bam, that's right. Bills, 13-3.
I mean, they are amazing. Oh, you like The Voice too?
All right.
Oh, thanks, Kevin.
All right, we'll switch that up. Ba-bam.
Feeling seen right now. Feeling seen.
They like The Voice too.
Don't tell me who wins this season or last season. I'm just catching up. But once I'm caught up, I'll watch it live again. Because it's fun to watch it when it's actually happening. Mm-hmm. But I got behind, like, multiple seasons behind. And then, let me tell you, it is not easy to find old seasons of The Voice, but I have my ways. And I was able to find them and watch them.
She had to go to those places of the internet. The dark places where pop-ups galore.
Anyway, it's been... you missed the current season. We could watch it together, Kevin. We could do that.
Wow. That sounds fun. When does it air?
It's already saying hi because you said to. Oh, hi, Gina.
Hey, Gina.
Yay. Oh, yay. I miss all our friends in Astoria.
Me too. Although I hear it's crazy there. You're trying to get a vaccine test you're trying to get a COVID test for your kid in Queens, and I'm assuming other metropolitan areas.
Oh, is it?
Is insane. Well, you have to get a test to go to school.
In order to get back to school, yeah.
Right.
Well, I think Gina's homeschooling right now, so they don't have to deal with that.
Technically, so are we.
Yeah, well, we also have not had to deal with that.
Yes.
So, anyway, why did you bring that up, that I like to watch The Voice?
What? This is because I love you, and I like interesting things about you, and I don't know anybody else who, like, binge watches a show... illegally. Like, you have to like go to these terrible websites to find the show that you like And then you binge marathon it while you're working. That's cool.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I don't have the relaxing time to be able to watch the shows that I want to be able to watch. And I can enjoy it while I'm sewing or while I'm doing other things. So, and I find it inspiring, you know, all these people who are taking chances and stuff. We all want to know which shows y'all, I can't read it all because your thing are pirating.
I didn't Rowan. See. He used the P word. I did not use the P word. She actually doesn't pirate the shows. She streams the shows. There's a difference, right?
Yes.
It's not a P2P sharing thing where you were downloading a car illegally.
It's true. There's no torrenting happening this specific thing.
You're just going
thing.
To a naughty website that...
Stop!
What?
It's not.
No.
It's just a darker corner of the internet. But you do have to close a lot of pop-ups. And, you know.
That's just part of it. After a while, you get to be an expert of just like...
Boop, no, boop, I know. Control W.
Every 5 minutes or so.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you just get like an ad. But, just that's over top everything.
But that's old episodes of The Voice. I mean, I will not speak of all of the shows, all of the different shows that I have binge watched. But that's my thing, is I will pick a show and then watch it from the beginning until the end of its span. There are just a couple things that I've been fairly loyal to. Mm-hmm. The Voice is one of them. I've watched every single season.
I'm the same way. I take one video game and then I power through it and play it from beginning to... Actually, you know what? Beginning to when I stop having fun is the real end for me now.
Well, that's true too. I did take a break from The Voice for a while. Mm-hmm. I didn't keep up because I didn't find it exciting. But then I felt guilty. Like 3 years later, it came back to haunt me because I saw coaches on that I liked again. Mm-hmm. And it's not that I didn't like the coaches. It just, I don't know, blah, blah, blah. Nobody's interested in this. Why am I still talking about it?
Because this is our Slice of Life podcast. This is not a puppet interview podcast.
It's true.
Those exist in many forms on the internet. There's even a puppet podcast coming out of Australia called, I think it's called, Talking Socks or something with socks in the title.
Ooh,
do you know?
That's fun.
But anyway, so Google it. Okay. It's really good. It's only about puppetry and puppeteers in Australia, but it is an interview podcast. Sometimes because there are at least four podcasts about puppeteers in America doing interviews, you get the same people on each show, which I think it's funny. It's like, oh yeah, there's that person again. Oh, doing that. Yep. So it's telling those same stories. And these are all our friends and, you know, the professionals that we love and that we work with and, you know, and the people who run these podcasts also are our friends also. Yeah. So I think it's just really funny that we're all celebrating the same people. And that in doing this list that I was like, how many puppetry podcasts are there out there?
That's cool.
There aren't many. And the ones that do all have this interview focus where people are listening to great stories from amazing people.
Yeah.
Here we're just talking about The Voice.
6 or 7 years ago, there were really not very many at all. Yes. There was about two. Two or three.
And one of those, I think it's called Getting Felt Up or something like that.
Oh, that one was around for a bit.
It is now gone. The 2017, I think, was their last podcast.
There was a Henson podcast for a while.
Really?
There was. Mm-hmm.
What was it called?
I think the Henson podcast or the Jim Henson Company podcast.
Oh, so yeah. It was like an LA-based...
It was hosted by the same person who does... another puppet podcast that's on right now.
Okay. So I guess we'll have to Google that. I'll have to find that because I had underneath the current list.
I don't know that
list,
you can find it.
Really?
I mean, I don't know.
I mean, it's hard. When you Google puppet and podcast, not many things pop up.
That was about 10 years ago, I think.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So
maybe not.
I don't know that you're going to find it. I'm not sure.
All right. It's a challenge. So, dear listeners, if you're out there, if you can find that podcast,
well, I don't know.
Hit me up whenever you're hearing this tomorrow. There's going to be a post on Unima USA's social media, which has a list, the definitive list, in my opinion, that I made myself.
Even
of every
if the podcast is gone defunct.
Yeah. I mean. No. I included underneath all the current ones. Okay. I had three. I said archived.
Oh. Yep. Here's, well, the Jim Henson Company podcast would be one. They did have one for quite a while.
I will look it up, and mm-hmm. I will try to add it to the list for tomorrow.
Well, does the Sesame Street podcast get included or no? Because it's like a kids podcast, and it's not really puppeteers, but it is puppeteers performing. But we're not really performing. All right, stop trying to put your thing into Chad's list. Z, your thing doesn't get included.
I didn't include it.
Quick plug for the Sesame Street podcast with Foley and friends on audible.com. If you haven't checked it out yet, I happen to know the person who does Foley. She's awesome. It's me. should give it a 5-star rating.
It's on Audible.
No shame here.
It's really fun. If you have kids, you should listen to it. I did not.
Oh, yeah. The Puppet Pod by Josh Rice. Did you do that
one? I did include that. Yay! That's right. And he interviews a bunch of contemporary American theater artists through here. I think it was through here. H-E-R-E.
I think it's through Dixon Place.
Or excuse me, Dixon Place. Thank you.
I think it's through Dixon Place.
I think it's through Dixon Place. Yeah, there's like 17 episodes because I was just looking at it today, and it's very up to date.
Yay!
So go check out the Puppet Pod by our friend Josh.
We love Josh because he's a fellow Western New Yorker. And
we were gonna perform in the New York State Puppet Festival in 2020. One of the many things we were accepted into, including the second New York City Puppet International Puppet Fringe Festival, which also got canned.
You know, there's light at the end of the tunnel. There are things to look forward to. So, yes, it sticks in place, Rowan says.
Thank you.
Yay, Rowan.
Thank you. And so, out there, because we've been talking about podcasts a lot this episode, if you have a favorite
outside of Yonkers
podcast, hit us up, let us know, and definitely in the comments section of that post, on that Unum USA post that somebody claims that it's the definitive list of puppet podcasts. If you have your own special favorites, give us a shout out. But yeah, I look forward mm-hmm. to hearing about more that are happening in different countries. There's always, of course, the definitive puppet podcast by our friend who interviewed both of us as guests on there. We were
Caroline.
That's right. Who is an amazing still walker and clown and circus performer and puppeteer.
She's a Renaissance woman.
And she's trilingual, and her podcast is too.
So cool. Yes. So cool.
Shout out to everybody who we didn't mention who also has a puppet podcast, Adam mm-hmm. and company.
And Cam.
Adam and Cam mm-hmm. and Grant and, anyway. So... Y'all doing a great job. Keep doing it. I'm excited to be part of this community, continuing to move forward. And on that note,
dun, dun, dun.
Yes, we are the Puppet Parent Podcast. Thanks, everyone who is chatting with us live today. We're going to try and keep it up on Sundays at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Chad falls asleep.
That's correct, because I'm a morning dove, not a night owl. Over at facebook.com/wonderspark puppets or at youtube.com/nycpuppets broadcasting live. You can listen to any of our MP3s wherever you get your podcasts or download them legally over at puppetparentpodcast.com.
And if there's something special that you want us to talk about, like a topic that you want us to explore, you can send us an email through wondersparkpuppets.com and let us know, because we would love to hear from you about things that you want us to talk about, whether it's parenting or puppetry or the voice, which mine is clearly tired right now. But yeah.
When's the new season? I mean, you could give a weekly update.
Well, if I get all caught up, don't worry, I will. I will.
Awesome. Mm. Well, I look forward to laughing with you.
Thank you. I will continue to dream about what song I would use for my personal audition.
Yay. This woman bumped into Hillary Clinton on a beach.
What are you doing,
and
man?
Her husband, whatever his name is.
No, like, no, no.
And you!
No, no.
You, you're great, too.
No,
I think is what you said.
This is so random.
We were talking about this before the podcast.
I don't remember how it came up that you reminded me that that happened, but I did end up running into Hillary and Bill Clinton on a random beach in the Hamptons. I did. It was, and there was no one around. So I do have a picture of tiny little fuzzy profiles of them out on a pier after they left, because I was too like prideful to like say, can I have a selfie?
I mean, good for you.
And also in shock to even have thought about it. But yeah, I was like playing on the beach. There had just been a storm so it was just me and the kids after the storm had ended. Playing on the beach, and people were walking towards us. And, you know, beach culture, that you always say hi. I don't know what that's about, but you always make eye contact and say hello. It's like a small town thing that you do on a beach. So, especially at this beach, because nobody is usually on this beach.
It's a private beach.
It's a private beach, right, private beach. And and I'm there, and I see these people getting closer and closer, and it's two of them, and then there's more people behind them, and then there's a guy, and he's like, hey, I'm sure he said hello, and I was like, hello, and then I look back down at what I'm doing, probably like digging or getting shells for my kids or something, and I'm like, that's so weird, he looks so familiar, why does he look so familiar? And I look back at him, and he's, like, looking at me again for some whatever reason. He looked back at me like he's waiting for it or something. And then I go, oh, my God, it's you. It's you. And then Hillary turns, and I'm like, and you. Oh, my goodness. Thank you. Thank you. Oh, thank you. Oh. And I was just like, oh, I really like you guys. Thanks. Have a great day. And then they were like, that's very nice. Bye. And they kept walking. And the Secret Service are like following them a little behind, walking. And then I just like look around. Kids are like playing in the surf a little bit. And I'm just like, well, that's Hillary Clinton. Nobody's here. Anyway. Yeah. So that happened once.
Yeah.
So there's my famous people story for tonight.
This is the woman who randomly bumps into her heroes occasionally. That's the kind of luck we're dealing with.
Well, that does happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's pretty awesome.
It is pretty awesome. So Hillary, if you're listening to this podcast, that was a really nice moment. And it was after Trump had been elected. It was the summer.
Yeah, it was like... pretty close.
It was that summer. It was like
spring of 2017.
No, summer. We wouldn't have been there in the spring, but summer. Yeah. Anyway, that was a nice moment. So what a weird thing to end on. But yes, cool. We are the Puppet Pairing Podcast.
I'm Z. I'm Chad.
And I hope that you have a great week. Take care of yourselves and each other. And if you're having a hard time, make sure you find somebody to talk to.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Bye.
We love you. Bye-bye.